Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Alex Cooper. Our guest in the studio this morning is Jordan Ross of Pets Empower. So Jordan, tell us what Pets Empower is.
Pets Empower provides temporary pet fostering during crisis. So there are all these types of situations where people need inpatient care themselves. Seniors entering hospitals, veterans entering the VA system for surgery, addicts entering a 30-day inpatient rehab, domestic violence survivors entering shelters where pets are prohibited from going with the folks. And for low-income individuals, pet parents, if they're unable to afford boarding facilities, starting at minimum $30 a day, a lot of times they're actually not accessing care themselves. So this allows the pet parent to access health care for themselves inpatient, and then place the pet through us in a volunteer foster home, and then reunite with their loving pet when they're ready.
Well, that's a terrific mission to have. Thanks. That must be really complicated to organize. I can't imagine, you know, what's the harder part of that is like finding foster parents for the pets or temporary foster homes and or getting the word out about what you do.
It's actually pretty easy. So we work with a foster organization called Safe People, Safe Pets, and they manage the fostering. They're actually run by the Wellesley Animal Control Officer here in Massachusetts. Our first market is the greater Boston area. There are small pet foster agencies all across the United States, approximately 300 in the U.S. and thousands globally. The problem, though, is that they lack scale. They're typically underfunded, and so they need to increase capacity. So that's where we come in. We connect them with food, vet care, and also recruiting. We recruit volunteers for them so that they can increase capacity. And we're also connecting with social service agencies. Your fastest referral channel is through the website. People in need reaching out directly to petsempower.org. So I'd urge anyone that needs services here in the Boston area to reach out to us on our website at petsempower.org. That's PETSEMPOWER, petsempower.org. And we can connect them. The service is completely free. We're a 501c3 nonprofit. We've been in a lot of business programs, and we've had access to great export mentors. So we're positioned to scale globally and connect people all over the world with local foster agencies. We're also looking to connect with pet rescue organizations, and as the numbers of pets in shelters, thankfully, is dropping pretty significantly, that we can use, you know, their existing infrastructure and re-energize fosters that might have been dormant, haven't been fostering recently with this new program, and also activate donors so they can help people within their own communities keep their pets, so the pet doesn't even have to end up at the shelter and at risk for being, you know, avoids the whole pet shelter process and the risk of being euthanized.
Mm-hmm. So the pets would go to another home temporarily?
Yeah, so people have really been open to volunteering and helping out their neighbors. And so it's a really neat process where people can provide incredible social impact and connect with a loving pet. So this is a perfect opportunity for someone that wants to foster for a shorter time. Typically it's 6 months. It can be shorter. And they can even say, I'm willing to take a pet for a month. So if someone doesn't want the responsibility of, you know, a 15-year relationship and commitment, but, you know, does want to, you know, be part of a pet's life for a shorter term, this is a perfect opportunity for them.
So how did you get started in this?
So I fell into this. I actually had a pretty challenging situation. So I graduated from Cornell University, where I had really great track record academically. And I thought, you know, I was just going to transition. And then I returned home to my parents' house, and they were abusive and violent. And I had this black lab, Jazz, who's my best friend. And so I actually left that situation, thankfully, with him. And we couldn't find a shelter here in Boston. At that point, I hadn't started working and really had nothing where we could stay together. And so I actually became homeless on the streets of Boston because I was unwilling to give up my dog. And I was frantically searching for resources online, and I couldn't find any agencies locally, and it was a pretty challenging situation. So thankfully I did find a group home. The Pine Street Inn has this group home where men transitioning out of homelessness themselves took care of my lab for 3 months, and I visited him weekly. And so that was the real turning point in my life, and it allowed me to get back on my feet and find employment and housing. And then I had nine great years with him from that situation. So I'm really grateful. And so I created Pets and Power as a way to, you know, thank these men at the Stapleton House, which is a Pine Street group home, for taking care of my dog and trying to help people coming through the pipeline. And I had, you know, I knew, I thought there were other people. Mm-hmm. The numbers, though, are, you know, at least 15 million Americans, these are annually, need temporary pet fostering. So addicts entering rehab, seniors entering hospitals, domestic violence survivors entering shelters. And there are staggering numbers on it, right, just in the domestic violence sphere, that say almost 50% of domestic violence survivors are staying in the abuse because they can't find a temporary pet foster for their dog. So we're out to solve the problem and provide a better access to health care, both for the pet parent in need and also for the pet, because we do provide vet care for the pet and make sure it's up to date and safe to be fostered.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I assume that the pets have been reasonably trained and are, you know, well-behaved pets. Is that kind of a criteria for being in the program, or do the fosters end up sort of retraining the pet and turning them into, you know, better behaved animals?
Yeah, so we definitely screen the pets before they're fostered. If we don't think the fostering is appropriate, we can take care of the pets through the program, and we can place the pet in a boarding facility as well. Mm-hmm. So we make sure that it's a good fit both for the pet and for the foster parent.
And this sounds like it must be overwhelming amount of work. How many people work with you on this directly? And
I mean, we're a pretty lean team. So Ashley is our executive director. I'm CEO, and we have another, Skylar is a recent MIT grad. So it's mainly the three of us. We have a pretty robust board of directors and advisors, mm-hmm. and we have a number of mentors. So we were in Mass Challenge, and it's really great to have advisors, you know, that we can call and bounce ideas off of. For the most part, though, it's a pretty lean team. So we're definitely always, we do have a number of great volunteers as well, and we're always looking for volunteers to help on the operational side and really to get the word out that this program exists and to let the people of their community know. And we're also fundraising. So our goal is to foster, mm-hmm. 100 pets here in the greater Boston area. We fostered 25 so far. Mm-hmm. This is within the next year. So we're looking for funds. Typically, it's $400 for the whole duration per pet. So we really would appreciate donors that could help, you know, through a month or even through the whole duration. And every little bit counts. And we really want to increase those numbers, and that allow us to qualify for foundation grants and make more impact to connect with the pet industry. Really, we know that the pet industry does want to support this, and we just have to prove out our first market here in Boston as our pilot so we can expand pretty quickly. And this is the trend, though, in terms of the pet shelter space, that the numbers are dropping, thankfully. Mm-hmm. And so we want to use a lot of the existing infrastructure to allow people to keep their pets.
Well, that's a great mission. And what are you doing for fundraising? You know, do you have events, or are you just still too early for that kind of?
Yeah, so we'll be having our second annual pet fashion show in the Boston area in June on a Saturday. So really appreciate if listeners could sign up on our website to get our updates. We'll be sending out the date, and we'll be also putting that up on our website. So really excited about that. And I were talking to a major Boston anchor about emceeing. Mm-hmm. So that was a lot of fun. Last year, we were 216,000 viewers through the Dodo, through the live simulcast. So really excited about that. And yeah, we're gonna be looking to meet people in their communities. And I'm having small coffees with community members and letting them know about this, and, you know, giving them opportunities to foster or help financially, or spread the word about Pets and Power.
Well, it's an awesome mission. I mean, I think you've got so many challenges on the hand. As one is getting the patients to be aware that this exists, mm-hmm. and the other is to find people to know that this is another cause that they can support.
And yeah, they're really excited, though. I mean, Mass General, their emergency room, reached out to us and said that they see these types of cases all the time. Mm-hmm. And so we're really getting clearer and more focused about the referral points And, you know, we really feel like there is a need, and we want to help fulfill it. And so many fosters are gracious and willing to open their homes. Mm-hmm. So really feel it's just about connecting resources. And we want to create a movement to let people know that, you know, there are resources out there. And if they are in need, that there's no shame, and we can meet them where they're coming from and help them out and allow them to have a second chance at, you know, happy lives with their loving pet.
Yes, and I assume that cats are included in this as things that people will be able to put in foster care as well.
Yes, they are. So it's primarily dogs and cats. There is an organization in Atlanta that actually fosters farm animals, so it's really open to the foster organization. Mm-hmm. And as long as the foster organization can provide, you know, fosters that are willing to take care of the, take in the pets. So, you know, if you're interested in fostering any type of pet, we're definitely open, and we can connect you with the infrastructure here in the greater Boston area.
Yeah, just as long as they don't give me any fish. They will not live long. That's terrific. So thank you for joining us this morning. So once again, can you tell people how to get in touch with you to support this mission?
Yeah. So please visit petsempower.org. That's PETSEMPOWER, petsempower.org. And you can donate there, sign up to volunteer, and also access services. If you, you or someone else know of a fostering need. And I'm also always happy to talk. So people can also contact me directly on my phone at 617-386-6192 or by email at Jordan, J-O-R-D-A-N, at petsempower.org.
Oh, that's been an amazing story. Our guest this morning has been Jordan Ross of Pets Empower. We'll be right back after these messages.